Good morning, everybody. We are GFBS. We're Grand Forks Best Source. Joining us on the show today, Dr. Gene Gullix and David Waterman from the Midwest Public Health Coalition. We're going to talk about to mask or not to mask. Our show today brought to you by First Community Credit Union. You know, you've been dreaming about your forever home. Well, forever, right? Well, now's the time to make that dream a reality. Now's the time to contact Craig Vansky, Mortgage Loan Officer with First Community Credit Union. Craig can make your home buying dreams come true with the low interest rates and quality service. First Community Credit Union can help you with all of your home buying needs. You know, with rates still incredibly low, now might be the perfect time. Make your forever home dream come true. Contact Craig Vansky, First Community Credit Union, 701-757-6805, or email craig.vansky@myfccu.com. First Community Credit Union, equal housing opportunity. Have any questions for David Waterman or Dr. Gullix? Our phone number here, 701-230-0863. Again, 701-230-0863. The phone lines are open. Oh, what did I say? 213. Say it every single day, 701-213-0863. Wow, what a great way to start. All right, before we get going, time now for our daily segment called Jokes My Neighbor Tells Me. Here we go, Jokes My Neighbor Tells Me. You know, I told my wife how thankful I was to have someone I enjoyed being quarantined with. She said, must be nice. David, what'd you think of that one?
That was a joke, all right.
It's the least she could do, right? Welcome to the show for the first time, Dr. Gene Gullix. How are you today? And thank you for coming in.
You're very welcome. I'm doing well. Thank you.
Would you tell us a little bit about yourself, please?
Yes, I am a child development specialist. I have a PhD from Iowa State University. I work in mental health and developmental areas, and I'm a family nurse practitioner.
Okay. And by the way, I wanted to get this out there right away. YouTube, by the way, pulled our show last Tuesday with David and Nick Ralston. Apparently, we said something that the World Health Organization didn't like or something. So we'll see what happens today. They threatened to ban us for a week, but oh well.
Because we said something that doesn't line up with what the World Health Organization says?
That's pretty much the way they explained it, yes.
The World Health Organization, the one that put out this information?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that'd be
that
them.
That World Health Organization?
That would be them.
The World Health Organization that wrote in this publication of theirs, it's on their website, a non-medical mask is neither a medical device nor personal protective equipment. Is that the World Health Organization they're talking about?
Yep, I believe it is.
The one that said that that wearing masks, especially for children, people with cognitive impairment, asthma, chronic respiratory or breathing problems, is not a good idea?
Yep.
That World Health Organization?
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, you okay. Can't say things that you can't go disagree with them or they ban you. It's that easy.
Yeah. Well, I agree with them because they say here that that using masks by healthy people in the general public could cause self-contamination due to manipulation of a face mask and subsequently touching the eyes with contaminated hands. So for those folks on YouTube who are watching this, I'd encourage you to go to the World Health Organization website so you can read this for yourself. You don't have to take my word for it. Potential self-contamination can occur when the non-medical masks are not changed, when they're wet or soiled, or when you touch them, which nobody touches their mask. Are you kidding me? I've seen more people touching. I don't know how many people wear masks and don't touch them.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Fauci is famous for touching his mask. He's always always doing that. Potential headache and or breathing difficulties, depending on the type of mask used. Facial skin lesions, irritant dermatitis, worsening acne, difficulty with communicating clearly, discomfort, a false sense of security, leading to potential lower adherence to other critical preventive measures, hand hygiene. That World Health Organization.
Yep.
That's all directly from them. I read everything. Yep. That was a quote. I read directly from there. Okay, good. So, no, I agree with them. I agree with all this.
You know what's funny? I happened to see a picture of our president, Joe Biden. He was in a White House cabinet meeting. Everybody around the table had a mask on except Joe. Go figure, huh?
Did you say he's the president?
Well, he said he is, so I'm going to leave it at that. How's that?
Okay. By the way, the World Health Organization might be wrong, so I'd refer to another organization, the Centers for Disease Control, CDC.
Okay.
Here's what they say. Non-medical fabric masks are not considered PPE, and their ability to protect healthcare workers is currently unknown. Some studies suggest that it may lead to a false sense of protection and even increase influenza-like illnesses relative to wearing a medical mask. COVID is considered an influenza-like illness.
Sure.
Anyway, that's what the CDC said. But who knows? What do they know?
Dr. Gullix, joining us for the first time. I think we need to talk a little bit, and we've tried to talk more about this, the effects this is having on children up through high school. It's crazy. We're hearing all kinds of different horror stories. Grades, for one thing, are going down. Your social skills are diminishing. I mean, every single day, teachers get paid for a reason, and that is to teach, and that is to teach face-to-face. This whole distance learning thing, I don't know, but give us some of your thoughts, if you would.
Well, there's lots of statistics to support everything you just said.
Mm-hmm.
And it even starts with infancy, the negative effects on development. They're estimating that 80% of children, and that was last fall, so it's much higher now, are behind academically.
80%?
Either failing or not keeping up, or scores are drastically lower than they're typically get when they're in the classroom setting. So about 75% of kids are being harmed socially, emotionally, physically, spiritually, due to the quarantining and social distancing. Anxiety and depression in adults and young adults is the number two reason for suicide. And that's the number two cause of death in that age group. More than 25% of college students are reporting serious suicidal ideation in the past 30 days. And 75% of 18 to 24-year-olds report poor mental health, failing, or lower grades with suicidal thinking. More than 500,000 students have commented about the lack of having a real college life.
Yeah. And you know, even when we talk about young children, Paul, the producer's got a young boy, got another one on the way. Pretty soon, these poor kids, they think, well, everybody's got to wear a mask. That's just what I remember. And, you know, when you can't even see, you know, your grandson or your granddaughter's face. And now we're hearing, like, if they happen to see you, it's so embarrassing. Embedded in their minds, if they don't have a mask on, they're afraid they killed grandma, you know, or something like that. It's just, the whole thing is a big mess.
It is.
Do I get to join the conversation? Okay, you can join.
Okay. Yeah, they're also wearing them when they're playing sports, too. Isn't that a thing?
Yeah, not a good thing.
That's not a good thing.
I actually just wanted to see if my camera was working.
Okay, how's it look? All right. You look great.
All right.
So I can give you some real case studies from from my practice and people I know, and this is in Grand Forks. There's one family that has a 5-year-old and a 6-year-old. They both have autism, and they're developmentally delayed. They're gifted, but the little girl has lost her speech because she can't lip read.
Oh.
She's not able to get treatment because she refused to wear a mask at age 5 with autism. And autism is an expression disorder. So it's anticipated that by 2030, it will more than double in incidences. So this little girl goes to speech therapy, but the speech therapist has to wear a mask. So she can't see the mouth.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, she wasn't able to go for a long time because she wouldn't wear a mask. I have a friend who has a 3-year-old grandson. She hasn't touched him, held him, or talked to him without her mask on since March, a year ago. The 9-year-old, he's bullied, he's bilingual, he's gifted, he's read on the internet about COVID. He's so terrified that his parents are going to get sick and die that he won't allow them to go out if he has any say.
Oh, boy.
And he won't go to school, so he's spending his day on electronics. A 9-year-old girl who I've talked about before who actually successfully did kill herself, she was so afraid she would cause her grandmother's death and that she didn't have any friends to talk to. And the kids are reporting poor sleep, more abuse and neglect is being seen, and it's delayed with treatment because they're not being picked up by mm-hmm. the teachers in the schools. They're spending up to 14 hours a day on electronics and social.
Oh my gosh!
Social media. So it's very serious, and we can go back to the beginning of attachment theory decades ago and see why this is causing a problem.
Mm-hmm.
So there's been lots and lots and lots of research on child development.
You know, it basically boils down to we're not letting kids be kids anymore. I also have heard from some teachers how difficult it is because they didn't realize how much they read lips in the classroom as they're trying to teach and interact with their students. And it's even hard on the teachers, let alone just the kids.
Right. They can't. People start lip reading at age 8 months old. And at 8 months old, they're starting to babble. They're starting to learn where sound is coming from. And now with the masks on, they're not able to do that. So I have a good example of a baby, 4 or 5 months old. She was in the stroller. A lady that she knows or fairly doesn't know her well, mm-hmm. has seen her before, but she's, you know, 4 or 5 months old, was talking to her, and the woman did not have a mask on. The baby was smiling and gooing and whatever babies do. Then two women leaned over the stroller to see her, and they had masks on, and she stopped. She got big-eyed, and she cried.
Oh, boy.
Like, almost instantly. And Daddy was there, and he leaned over the stroller, but he had his mask on, and she cried. He took it off, and she settled down, and then she smiled. But the other problem is they don't have any idea where the voice is coming from.
Sure.
They don't know who's talking, mm-hmm. so they're not learning to turn to interact with
people. Yeah, pretty hard to see facial expressions when all you can see are a pair of eyes.
Yeah, especially when you're young. It's hard enough for us. You know, the older people are having trouble because they can't hear mm-hmm. people through the mask. They lip read a lot.
Yes.
We lip read if someone has a different accent than
mm-hmm.
ours.
Mm-hmm.
And it's subconscious. We're not aware of it. People would say, no, I don't lip read.
Right.
But they also say, I can't understand anyone these days.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Dr. Gulks, I'll tell you, I noticed years ago about myself that I lip read all the time. In fact, whenever mm-hmm. I talk to someone, I'm always going back and forth between their mouth and their eyes to watch what they're saying. Mm-hmm. Because I really want to hear everything. I don't want to miss anything. And so I think, like you said, that we do it and we don't even think about it.
And we're isolated from each other. If you're in a store where masks are mandated, there's no casual conversation.
Right, right.
Nobody's turning and saying, hi, how was your day? You smile and they don't know if mm-hmm. you're friendly or not friendly.
Yeah.
So it's causing problems for development of all ages, basically.
I mean, and not to mention, I run into people all the time. I don't even recognize them because they're wearing a mask. We do have a couple of texts. Alicia, kids wearing masks all day at school and during sports is harmful. Shane says, no, Paul does not look great. Kaylee says, the kids are wearing them outside to recess and during gym class in Grand Forks Public Schools. I picked up my 12-year-old from South Middle School yesterday after intramurals, and she said they had to wear a mask during that also. Shane says, I have stopped wearing masks completely, no longer make my kids wear them. I mean,
for Shane.
Do you really think that kids need to wear the masks outside during recess?
A long time ago. When did this start? January, February?
Yeah, February.
They came out with statements that the virus free floats outside, you know, and it's dispersed right away. So mm-hmm. the chances of getting sick from someone when you're outside playing is extremely low, even lower than the chance of getting sick as a child from the COVID. But the viruses are heavy, so you talk and they fall to the ground or they fly away in the wind. And so these organizations, CDC and WHO, have recommended in the past, even Dr. Fauci, you don't have to wear a mask when you're outside. They're still talking about social distancing outside, be that as it may. You're not social distancing when you're playing intramurals in a gym with a mask on, mm-hmm. sweating and breathing hard.
You know, how long will it take a lot of these kids now, and I'm going to use the word brainwashed, Can we unbrainwash them? How long is this going to affect these kids? I know I've read reports, and I think you might have hit it on it a little earlier, but this is something that just doesn't get fixed overnight. All of a sudden, you know, right now, Grand Forks County Health Officer Dr. Joe Walls plans to remove the mask order later this month. I heard possibly even later this week, because we are back in the green now. We've only had one positive case in Grand Forks County today and one positive case, I believe, yesterday. But you can't just say, okay, we're going to stop wearing masks and everything's good now.
Right. So if we look at attachment theory, it varies depending on how you were raised from 0 to age 3. That affects your whole adult social life.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're securely attached, in other words, parents are not wearing the masks around the child, the infant, and they learn comfort and security, they're probably going to be resilient and rebound.
Sure.
If you have a 6-year-old who's been well attached and has known the world without masks.
You mean attached to his parents?
Attached to parents or a caregiver.
Okay.
It doesn't. Typically, it's mom.
Mm-hmm.
More often these days than not, it's dad. It could be a caregiver that they attach to, someone who is consistent with them.
Okay.
But then we have ambivalent, where mom's working at home. She's busy with work. The 3-year-old needs something. Mom doesn't respond, so she gets angry and temper tantrums. And then all of a sudden, mom comforts and cuddles her. So she grows up with problems of self-esteem, becomes moody, very clingy. Then the avoidant kids are those whose parents or caregivers are quite negative. They get negative responses from the caregivers, and so they tend to become unemotional. And the masks that mask your face, your mouth, is an avoidant kind of thing for these kids because they're not seeing
sure
expressions.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have the disorganized kids who really have very little attention, who are kind of left on their own, and they don't do well. But predicting adult success goes way back to these kinds of early attachments from ages 0 to 6. So by age 3, researchers have predicted high school dropouts, and they've been right 77% of the time. So by age 3, if you don't know what's going on socially,
mm-hmm,
with facial expressions, with being able to feel consistent love, 77% accuracy predicting dropout of high school, which of course impacts your wow the rest of your life. Even college kids, they were asked if they were close to their mothers. And 35 years later, they were studied, and 91% of them that had said they weren't attached well had significant health issues, alcoholism, heart conditions, high blood pressure, as opposed to 45% who said they were close to their parents, to their mother. So it's huge.
So does anybody tell this to Dr. Fauci or anybody? And if they do, what does he just hear? Wah, 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 wah? Because, I mean, you've got the facts there.
Yeah. And these are from the child development research literature and some medical JAMA and some of those research peer-reviewed journals. Mm-hmm. These facts have been out there for a long time. And what I hear on TV is lip service. We have to look at the mental health needs of children.
Yes.
But I don't see any actions being taken.
Great example. You talked about autism. Story from about a month or so ago in my hometown of Thief River Falls. A lady had her young son. I think he was 5 years old, 4 years old, something like that. Autistic. Can't wear a mask. Goes completely nuts. They went in just to go to the deli to get some supper. And it's not like they were grocery shopping or anything. And they escorted her out the door because she tried to explain that her son could not wear a mask. But this is just getting downright ridiculous.
Yeah.
You know, you mentioned the high school dropouts, too. I can only imagine, you know, with how far behind the kids are getting in education, how that's going to be even probably an inflated. You're going to see that go up as well.
Yeah, and they predict that over 80% of them won't catch up.
Man, 80%. Wow. And by the way, Heather says she's amazing. She's talking about you, so there you go.
Yes.
Thank you, Heather.
I agree with Heather. One of the things that when we start talking about these numbers, Dr. Gullick's mentioned the 80% of children are behind, and 75% of today's kids are being harmed. It's easy to just think of those as numbers, but we're talking about real people. We're talking about children.
And our future.
People's children, the future of our country.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not just in California, right, or Massachusetts. It's nationwide. It's in Grand Forks.
Sure.
I mentioned on an earlier show that I had a long conversation with the superintendent of schools in Grand Forks, Dr. Brenner, and provided him with scientific information showing the harm that is caused by masks in children who rarely, and I mean rarely means rarely, it means rarely,
mm-hmm.
Get seriously ill from COVID, rarely get COVID, because their bodies are just ready to fight off all kinds of pathogens,
mm-hmm.
including COVID, and they do that effectively. And he was not, he acted receptive, but after I provided the information, he said, there's no reason for us to talk anymore because I disagree. So individuals who are in positions of authority are making decisions for other people's children that is doing tremendous harm, as Dr. Gullick points out, and it's provable harm, and yet there seems to be no accountability. So when I hear these kinds of stories, it makes me very, very angry. And I hear a lot of people say things like, well, when are we going to, yeah, I just can't wait. Hopefully this will all be over soon. I will tell you, it will not be over soon unless we make it over soon.
Yeah, stand up.
As a society, we have to, because guess what? The folks who are in charge, who are supposed to be the experts, who mm-hmm. are supposed to know what Dr. Gullick is explaining, they obviously don't know that. Or worse yet, they don't care.
Yeah, they don't want to know. And how easy is it to get rid of somebody like you, David, who's got a great point, you got the facts, everything, but how easy is it to just say, I disagree, we're done?
Yeah, exactly.
And that's all you can do. Okay, fine, you got to, you know, tuck your tail between your legs and walk out the door, and they won't even listen.
Yeah, I really do that.
No, I know that, but that's what they're expecting.
I would say this, those people need to be fired. They need to be recalled in their positions of elected office, and they need to be held to account because they are doing real and significant damage to the lives of these children. And in some cases, I think that Dr. Gullick would agree, it's going to be irreversible damage. It's going to be lifelong damage. Mm-hmm. Am I exaggerating, Dr. Gullick?
No, not at all. The kids that have security are going to be more resilient. The kids that have less financial security or parents are gone and 12 years and 13-year-olds are at home doing their homework, which they're not doing.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to have health issues, physical health issues also because of lack of exercise, fresh air, vitamin
sure.
D. The list goes on and on. But if you have, especially middle school kids and young kids, those are the high-risk groups because they're learning social interactions. So if you have middle school kids, you know, everybody loves a 13-year-old,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah, oh, well.
They're wonderful kids, but they're difficult because they don't know who they are.
Mm-hmm.
Their home runs are starting to kick in. They don't know if they should argue with you, if you're frowning, if you're not, if you're pleased with them, if you're encouraging them to go deeper into a conversation.
If you're wearing a mask.
Yeah, because the teachers or whoever mm-hmm. they're with wearing masks.
And that's already a difficult time of life
right.
to exist, even right. if nobody's wearing masks.
So if they don't get those middle school experiences of social interaction with their peers and learning the rules and those kinds of things and who they are, not being able to discuss certain things in school, I don't know that they'll recover well.
Yeah, I mean, when I went to middle school, you know, it was a long time ago, but that is when you really started to interact socially. That's when you first started having school dances. Mm-hmm. You started having sports involved with the school, not your other teams like park board and all that. But that is what prepares you for adulthood and high school. And it what I want to know is, what are some of these people that are shoving this mask thing down all of our throats? What are they going to say 10, 15 years from now when all of this starts to come out? And we see what effect this had on these kids. What are they going to blame it on in 10 or 15 years?
Someone else.
Yeah, exactly.
They'll deny it. Mm-hmm. They'll deny that they had anything to do with it.
Yeah. And it's just that easy for them.
Yep.
You know, just like the superintendent of the school say, well, I disagree. That's enough.
Right.
Yeah, and it's not just the masks. It's the quarantine, the social distancing, the lack of physical contact. You know, boys walking down the hall are always jostling other boys. Mm-hmm. That's probably not politically correct, but it's the truth.
It is, yeah.
Right.
The girls throw their arms around each other and have a fight and stay mad at each other. Boys throw their arms around each other in this age, middle school, and have lunch together.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, so they're not getting these opportunities for conflict or for successes with with friends, because as soon as school's over, they go home to their own homes, or if they're lucky, an after school program maybe. And there are some wonderful parents out there who are full-time moms or dads right now, who are getting their kids into some activities but not too many, who are making sure homework is done. But kids don't learn by iPads and Zoom.
No.
And the college kids are telling me, I can't learn biology through Zoom. We don't get study groups. We don't have that give and take is not happening. And especially grade school through high school, learning on Zoom without that give and take, without sitting in the library, socially is impacting us as much as for the majority of kids, the flat affect they see with the masks and being afraid of people. I mean, I've had a child run from me in the grocery store because I didn't have my mask on.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had him run from me in the grocery store because I did have a mask
on. Yeah. Jeepers. We're going to talk about a couple of texts here, take a quick break, but we will be back with David Waterman and Dr. Gene Gullicks here in a minute. But a couple of texts. Alicia says, the facts should end this fear, but the narrative is too strong. No one wants to hear the facts. Gene says, or worse yet, the experts are intentionally seeking to destroy our societies. Here's a good one from Kaylee. No more school programs, music, and awards. Either, as parents are not allowed in the schools, so you can't even go watch your child when they do anything. But we're going to take a quick break here. I want to talk about patops.com, which is Patriot Ops. It's about patriot unity and action towards strategic goals. Now, the four pillars of the PatOps community are peace, strategy, intelligence, and unity. Now, through these three pillars, patriots can rebuild the foundation of our constitutional republic and uphold our Bill of Rights. You know, the bloodshed for freedom and these God-given rights is not lost on us, and duty calls for our action today. Please visit their website for important videos and links to their many social media accounts. You know what? Don't get lost in the news cycle. Take action today. Go to patops.com. That's patops.com. And we are back with David Waterman and Dr. Gene Gullicks. I did catch part of your guys' show, Valley News Live, I believe is where I saw it. And you know, I think we're going to maybe see more and more of this because people are just getting fed up.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's way past time to get fed up. I mean, not to put any, not to be negative about it, but this should have all ended 9 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that we're still here, and incidentally, just so you know, I'm absolutely confident that there are folks who have a lot of money and a lot of influence who want to make sure we're exactly where we are now, a year from now, that we haven't changed, that everybody's still terrified, everyone's still wearing masks, and the vaccine is going to play out, and people will get it, and then a new strain will come along, and the people that got the vaccine are going to get really sick, and some of them are going to die, and they're going to say, we need more vaccinations, we need to double down on masks, on social distancing, on all the same nonsense that they've been pushing for a year.
Mm-hmm.
Would you have believed, John, that we would be talking about this now?
No.
A year later?
No.
A year after? Right. So nobody's going to believe that we're going to be talking about it a year from now either. But we will.
I'm sure.
Unless we collectively do something about it. The people that are in charge or were put there because we thought that they could handle the job, they've demonstrated that they can't handle the job. Look at this. This is a story from Northern California. Entire California school board resigns after a leaked video of trashing parents for wanting schools to open.
Yeah, I saw that on TV.
Unbelievable. These people, school board members in Oakley, California, were caught mocking and trashing parents who desperately want their children back in the classroom during a virtual meeting. The board did not realize that parents could watch the meeting. So parents are watching the meeting of these school board members talking about, they're saying things like, one of the school board members said, parents just want schools to reopen so they can smoke weed during the day. Board member Richie Masada said his brother had had a medical marijuana service, and the clientele were parents and their were parents with their kids in school. They don't know what goes on behind the scenes. It's really unfortunate that they want to pick on us. This is a board member, Lizzie Brizendine, said it's really unfortunate that they want to pick on us because they want their babysitters back. So she's referring to the teachers as babysitters. And yeah, shameful. I'm guessing that this does not only happen in Northern California.
Yeah, and so John, he had to take off really fast because some family emergency.
Okay.
We'll talk about it after the show.
Okay.
But that's fine. Something that'll be very interesting.
Important.
Yeah. We can talk about. So anyway.
So Paul. Well, welcome to Grand Forks Best Source. as the new host.
Yeah, that was kind
of the producer.
Well, it was kind of unexpected, so I might have to jump back and forth between the computer here, but we'll make sure we get it done.
We'll make it work.
Yep.
Good. You know, here's an interesting thing from WorldNet Daily. This was published in June 24th. COVID-19 death rate is 75% lower in states that didn't lock down. And they point out media wants you to think cases equals sickness, and sickness equals death, and that's certainly not true.
And the same thing with intramurals. Kids who are engaging in intramurals have lower incidences of depression and anxiety and less fearful than kids who are not. Mm-hmm. So that's just one after school program that kids can engage in that helps. So it's kind of along the same line.
So in reality, Dr. Gullix, getting out there and having physical activity has a major impact on mental health, and yet the whole way that we're responding to COVID-19 is to force children to do just the opposite of that.
Right, and the physical response to stress, it's toxic. You know, the adrenal glands kick in, you're at high stress because you're quarantined, you're not sure what's going on with mom and dad, and their schedule is so different. I know one little girl she's 10. Her mom works in the basement. She's upstairs by herself most of the day. Mom checks on her, but she doesn't have social interactions during the day. And her stress levels are, presumably, we don't measure them necessarily on kids, but they become so high and elevated for so long that down the road we have heart attacks. We have cancer, we have strokes, we have immune deficiency, asthma increases, all of those kinds of things physically also.
I wonder what would happen, because a lot of the things that you're talking about are going to show up later.
Yeah.
Right? These negative impacts are going to show up later. So I wonder what would happen if the superintendent of schools in Grand Forks issued a new edict saying, we've determined that smoke kills COVID. So all children coming to the Grand Forks Public Schools will be allowed to come in without a mask as long as they smoke 5 cigarettes a day. That will kill the COVID. They've got to smoke 5 cigarettes a day. Now listen, you can't, smoking 5 cigarettes a day for a kid, that's not going to cause heart disease, right? Or cancer right now. That's not going to, I mean, there are kids in other countries that do that. Kids, you know, 10, 13 years old who smoke cigarettes and they're walking around. So there's no harm to having these kids smoke cigarettes. Would we go for that? I mean, would parents go along with that, knowing that the harm is going to show up much, much later?
Well, you know, when you were mentioning, you know, earlier as far as, you know, these kids in school and everything. And my daughter, she's 8 years old and she's been out of school. And I mean, she doesn't get to be around her friends. It's just, it's ridiculous. But one of the things, I just thought of it because we have parent teacher conferences tonight, but the last time that we had them, I actually, asked the instructor, how are the kids doing, you know, with the social distancing and everything. And her response back was, oh, you know, they're making sure that they have their masks on when they're at their desk. You know, they're doing their 6 feet and blah, blah, blah. And I said, no, I don't want to know how they're doing for the protocol. I said, I want to know how are they doing.
How are they doing?
Yeah, you know, emotionally with it. But the fact that that was the immediate answer I got back, I was really upset with.
Yeah. There's many parents have told me that when they pick up their kids, they come out to the car, they're crying, their masks are wet. You know, they haven't eaten lunch, some of them, because they're afraid to take their masks off. Their hands are chapped and sore because they're disinfecting so often. Disinfectant is not, well, it is toxic. It's not necessarily better than not having it. It is as far as germs, but it's toxic. I was in a situation myself in the last week or two where I had to have a mask on, had to have eye protection on. I'm a healthcare worker, and they actually fumigated the room with what do you call it? A tank that spit out aerosol.
Agent Orange?
Yeah. Well, it felt like it, because within 20 minutes, I was very sick.
And that disinfectant, by design, must be toxic.
And they were doing that every 40 to 50 minutes. So I got a migraine almost immediately. I had vision blurring. I had to lay down and miss the rest of the work. I'm not saying that's the same as cleaning your desk with Clorox, but there's fumes with everything.
Yeah, so the vapors that come off of these toxic substances, these cleaning substances, are doing a lot more harm than good. Here's the thing that's hard for a lot of intelligent people to deal with. We're talking about a virus that puts at risk a fraction of 1% of the population, a fraction of 1%, a fraction. People can disagree whether it's 0.05% or if it's 0.00007%, because those are two numbers that have been calculated. But the point is that we're doing so much damage, such incredible damage, physically, psychologically, emotionally, to every group from young children to babies, the baby that was terrified by these people with the masks over their faces, that's got to be frightening to a three-month-old, all the way up to the elderly who were spending the last years of their lives, sometimes the last months of their lives, without any human contact whatsoever. Mm-hmm. They're literally cloistered away in what is essentially solitary confinement, which many people consider to be cruel and unusual punishment. If you're a prisoner, if you're a mass murderer, if you're a serial killer, and you're given solitary confinement, there are many people who believe that that is cruel and unusual punishment. But we're doing it to the elderly.
What is it? Is hypochondria? Is that when you don't want to leave your house?
When you think you're sick and you're not.
Oh, yeah, when you think you're sick and you're not. Yeah, I could see a lot of kids becoming hypochondriacs here in the future. I mean, just the other day, there was a lady walking by here right in front of the studio, and her little girl was chasing after and fell on the ground. And, you know, she must have hurt her knee or something, but she's crying. And the mom, the first thing that she did is she just reached in her bag. She grabbed her hand sanitizer and started wiping her kid's hands off because, you know, she fell on the ground and her hands hit that, you know, filthy floor that they clean every single day.
Yeah.
Instead of comforting her.
Yep.
So we see these things, and I can only imagine how much worse it is in the big cities. I mean, this is Grand Forks that we're witnessing these kinds of things. We were contacted, Midwest Public Health Coalition was contacted. I was contacted directly by a mother whose daughter fell. She was sliding down something. She was playing, and she was, I think, riding the laundry basket down the stairs. And her daughter is 3 years old, and she hit and she tumbled over and banged her nose on the floor. And she came crying to her mother. Her nose is starting to swell up on one side and not on the other side. So she thought her daughter could possibly have a broken nose. That makes sense. Mm-hmm. So she took her to the clinic, which is run by, I'm going to say it, by Spectra Health. And they refused to let this young girl in without a mask on. She said she's got to be wearing a mask. The mother said, I'll wear one, but I think she might have a broken nose. Well, she's not allowed in. She can't come in the door. She's talking to her on a phone out in this little entryway area, in this little secluded area, and they wouldn't let her in. The receptionist had to check with the operations director, and they said, and so the mother finally ended up saying, are you denying? She said, I'm not going to put a mask over what could be a broken nose. The girl, for that matter, could have had a concussion for all she knew. She needed to see a physician. And they wouldn't let her in. And the mother said, I'm not going to make my three-year-old put a mask. Three-year-olds, even under the bogus health order from the state of North Dakota, three-year-olds aren't even required to wear masks by that bogus and illegal health order. But Spectra Health wouldn't let her. And so she said, are you denying medical attention to my three-year-old? And the answer was, yes, we are.
Yeah, I thought that was almost illegal.
I called, just so you know, I called Spectra Health. I left a message for, I think, the medical director. I called twice, left a message, never heard back. And she is yet to hear from someone, even with an apology. They said, well, our policy, our COVID policy is that nobody comes in the building without a mask over their nose and mouth. And she said, what about your patient bill of rights? Because it says that everyone's entitled to care. Here, I'll read it. Appropriate health care. Patients shall have the right to appropriate medical care consistent with standards of practice and personal care based on individual needs. Okay. Well, she had insurance. She was covered, but she got no care at all. This is insanity, what's happening. Adults are making decisions based solely on fear, not on facts, and it's hurting. It's hurting all of us.
You know, this is actually a question for you, doctor. Because I thought that when this first rolled out that they were saying not to put a mask on a child that's 5 years and younger.
That's right.
You know,
that's right. That was from the CDC and from the WHO. And then there was some changes. They went down to 2 years old. Then they went back up to 5 year old. Now I don't know where they're at.
And now, I mean, because when I went on my trip to Florida, I mean, you know, everybody has to wear their masks in the airport and everything. But now they're, like, actually making masks for two-year-olds. I mean, they got these little custom ones that,
unbelievable.
It's just, I just saw it, and I was like, this is just crazy.
It's unbelievable. And nobody's talking about, you know, the best way to prevent getting COVID, even if you're susceptible to COVID, you know what the best way is? Vitamin D3. Make sure that you have a good amount of vitamin D3 in your system, because that's the primary mechanism that your self-defense system, your immune system uses.
You mean get some sun?
Yeah.
Go outside, play in the sun, you know, do some physical activities, right. Something along those lines.
Yeah, which is real easy to do when we're hiding in our homes and sheltering in place.
Yeah.
No. Sorry for the sarcasm. The fact is that vitamin D3 and zinc and vitamin C, and making sure that you have sufficient quantities of those nutrients that your immune system absolutely requires to do its job, that will do 1,000 times more than a face mask that is probably going to put you at greater risk, especially if you don't change it every 15 minutes, as Dr. Ralston was saying, you know, when he was here. Yeah, as long as you change it every 15 minutes, you're good. Who's going to do that in reality?
Well, the supplements are being recommended by the physicians and nurse practitioners after someone, well, even just this time of year, with the flu, the pneumonia, or the COVID. You know, and make no mistake, if you are high risk and you get COVID, you're extremely ill. Most people, including myself, I was in the ICU for 8 days, and it's lonesome and scary and all of that that goes with it. But I was recommended to take supplements, you know, along with medications too. I was wearing my mask when I probably
got it.
That doesn't mean everybody else will get it if they're wearing their masks, obviously. But the whole picture is – mental health, activity, eating well, you know, interacting socially with people, supplements, and taking care of yourself the way you would otherwise. And one way we take care of ourselves is by being with other people.
So, Dr. Glux, can I just ask you to elaborate on that a little bit? What is the emotional and mental value of having strong interactions with other people, strong relationships?
It's essential. It's not just a value. It's essential for humans. It's essential for animals. They've done studies on monkeys and apes and children and adults. We were created to be social beings. God didn't create us to be alone. That's why he created Eve.
Right.
So the social interactions are critical for life. People die earlier without social interactions. Children become flat and unattached and more likely to be in prison or jail at some point in time. I mentioned the high dropout rate, the alcoholism. Those kinds of things happen when there isn't social interaction.
So, Dr. Gullix, as a professional, if I can just ask a question here.
Absolutely not.
Would you say that to force children in particular to wear a mask over their nose and mouth so no one can see their expressions and they can't see the other person's expressions, to maintain a 6-foot distance while they're doing that, and to generally be fearful about the air and the surfaces around them, is it possible to impose those kinds of measures on people and children in general and expect them to be mentally and emotionally healthy?
No.
Is it possible?
There will be a few that are, because children are extremely resilient, and there will be a few that are, but we're going to see, and we're already seeing, obsessive compulsive disorder skyrocketing, which is a type of anxiety. So that's hand washing is a stereotypical. But when you're afraid of being close to someone, or you're afraid of that you're not washing your hands often enough, that you're going to kill your grandmother, that you're going to hurt someone else, you stop functioning. You become all about yourself and how clean you are and what you're doing. And the OCD and anxiety is generalized anxiety disorder with panic attacks is probably going to surpass depression if it hasn't already, but they really go hand in hand.
Depression and anxiety, I've heard, are like twin evil twin sisters.
Yeah.
Yeah, I never even thought of, you know, kids getting OCD and stuff because of all this.
Yeah.
I mean, this was when hand sanitizers kind of first came around. I remember it, and they were talking about, well, don't use too much hand sanitizer because you're going to create super germs. I don't know if that's still a thing that people are talking about, but
yeah. You can build your own immunity if you're exposed to things. Now they have hand sanitizer in Mickey Mouse bottles, and the kids carry them on their backpacks. And like this little girl that fell, you know, she's going to, on her own, not be touching things. She's not going to touch dirt. She's not going to pick up toys that were on the floor. Babies pick up stuff off the floor and put it in their mouths. Right.
Mm-hmm. And
they don't get sick because they're exposed to hundreds of bacteria and viruses every day we are.
And Dr. Gullix, would you say that, I mean, would it be reasonable to assume that God put that reflex in the mouth? I mean, I've seen all babies do that reflex to put it right to your mouth so that they will, for the express purpose of building a robust immune system.
Well, that's certainly a byproduct of that. I don't know if that's the express reason, but the other reason for doing it, hand to mouth, is to figure out what things are, because they use all their senses. So yes, you know, you would build an immune system that way. If you had a baby, I suppose, that wasn't allowed to touch anything, they're probably going to be more sickly. I'm not positive about that. But it stands to reason.
There's a study that I read. I don't know if this is going to go too far on the gross scale, but I was reading years ago about elephants and the development of elephants. And they said that baby elephants actually eat the dung of their parents, because when they're born, they're lacking certain bacterial, certain flora, intestinal flora, that they require to digest their food. And the only way that they can get it is from the dung of their parents that has mm-hmm. that flora. So
it's like eating something off the floor in the kitchen.
that was kind of my thinking.
Well, I'm thinking my dog that keeps eating its own crap in the backyard is a different, probably something else going on there. right.
Maybe you need to check the label on your dog food and see if they're missing something. But there's another issue in that there's a study, and I wish I had it in front of me. I don't because I read it 20 years ago, where the German government recognized that there were certain children in school who were always getting sick and certain children who rarely got sick. And so they said, there's got to be a reason for this. We've got to figure out what it is. And so they began their own research. And what they determined was that one group of kids came from relatively affluent backgrounds. They lived in the city. They lived in apartments or in nice homes where the surfaces were regularly sanitized, regularly cleaned. And the other children came from rural communities and primarily farm backgrounds where they were around pigs and horses and manure and all kinds of germs and dirt. So it stands to reason that one group is going to get sick frequently and the other group is not going to get sick frequently. What is counterintuitive in their research mm-hmm. is that the group that was getting sick all the time were the ones that were coming from the very sterile, clean environments where the surfaces are right. routinely sanitized. And so those kids didn't get exposed to germs. They didn't get exposed to pathogens, bacteria and viruses and things like that. Where the kids that grew up on the farms, they're exposed to it all the time. They're probably eating it in their sandwiches because they shovel out the barn and then they go have lunch and don't wash their hands. So when we're exposed, especially as children, to pathogens, I'm not a medical doctor, but I don't have to be a medical doctor to know that if your temperature says 102 degrees Fahrenheit, you've got a fever, right? It doesn't become more of a fever if Dr. Gulick says it than it does when I say it. It's still a fever. Mm-hmm. The fact of the matter is that our bodies, our immune systems are designed to be exposed to pathogens so that they can become robust. What makes strong immune systems is exposure to disease, just like what makes muscles strong is exposure to stress and resistance. You know, resistance training, lifting weights, that's how you get strong.
At the same time, extreme is never good.
Extreme is never good, so right.
We're not saying don't wash your hands. We're not saying don't disinfect and clean your kitchen. Those are important things. But to take it to the extreme level, like scrubbing your desk every time you come back or leave your desk, that's extreme. And that's not allowing natural immunity. Being clean is different than being disinfected.
And the difference between being clean and being disinfected, I think we could chalk up a lot to the fact that we have hot and cold running water in our homes with flush toilets, and the water that comes into our homes isn't diseased with parasites and nasty things because it's sanitized before it comes to our faucet. That in and of itself has done more to prevent disease and to support good health in America than all the Clorox wipes and all the other stuff. Those things actually, I've heard. I talked with the father several months ago. He said that they use Clorox wipes in the classroom. That his son in grade school is using Clorox wipes to wipe down the desks, and it says right on the package, "Keep out of reach of children."
Yeah, it's just basically bleach. I mean, you're just getting bleach on your hands all day. I mean, I extensively cleaned my house one time. My hands were so chapped afterward. I mean, they were in pain.
Right.
Bleach causes respiratory problems, too. It's a chemical. It's a toxic chemical.
And even if it's not bleach, because some of the wipes, I've looked at the ingredients, some of them don't contain bleach, but they contain other toxic chemicals that are designed to kill pathogens. And so constantly doing that to your hands, here's biology 101. There's bacteria on our hands, on our skin, that our skin requires to be healthy.
Yeah, Cindy,
and if you kill that,
Cindy you become actually just commented on that. I know that she runs a daycare. She was taking care of my son for a while. She said too much hand sanitizer gets rid of the good bacteria.
Right.
Exactly.
Which, yeah, I mean, you need good bacteria.
And so we're seeing an increase in issues with gut health, digestive health, because that's dependent on good bacteria. If you don't have enough, you can't digest your food and you end up with problems, everything from constipation, diarrhea to you name it. You know, so when they're talking about sterile environments, that's for surgery. That's for medical procedures, you know, and there hand washing has saved millions of lives once they figured that out.
Right.
We're not talking about being in a sterile situation,
right,
and, you know, needing to repair some physical damage.
And so, most people don't go from a mortuary setting where they're doing autopsies on dead bodies and then going to lunch.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
That did happen 100 and
yeah.
some years ago. That's why Semmelweis got in trouble, because he said, hey, try washing your hands after you finish doing the autopsy before you come in and start delivering another child.
You know, so, I mean, I don't know how this is all going to go with the kids and, you know, being exposed to this for the last year, but I mean, what, I don't know what steps people can even do to get the kids back in school and not wearing the masks, because I think that just goes, you have to go through the school board, or does that go through, I mean, who do we got to get on this?
I don't think it's going to change until enough parents become angry and start making phone calls and writing letters and showing up at the school board meetings and say, cut this whole nonsense out. You bring our kids back to school, no masks, no Clorox wipes, let them be kids, let them start trying to recover their childhood. Because as you said, Paul, or maybe it was John who said it, it's not going to happen overnight. Even if they say, okay, come back in school, no masks, no hand sanitizer, just be a regular student again, there's going to be serious pushback on that by a lot of children.
Yeah.
Because they've been so brainwashed into thinking that the air is toxic, their friends are toxic, the surfaces are toxic, and they're all going to die if they don't do these things. Like Dr. Gulick said, OCD,
obsessive compulsive
disorder is just going to, yeah, it's skyrocketing.
So we do need an action plan. You know, and that's one, for sure, the big plan. But how do we raise resilient children? You know, parents have to not be fearful and not express those fears in front of the kids. They need to include them in conversations at the level they can understand. They need to make sure they're getting the exercise, the sleep. Sleep deprivation causes physical and emotional illness. Eating the right things, not leaving them with junk food or processed foods, which a lot of parents will think that if you get a sandwich or those little cracker cheese packets, those are healthy, but they're processed foods. You want as close as you can to.
Yeah, I guess I didn't even think about that. I mean, just even the meal plans and everything that kids get in schools. Now if they're stuck at home and all the parents are doing is, you know, giving them Subway and McDonald's every day for lunch, that's not helping anything.
And malnutrition in children has increased significantly because there's a lot of children that depend on that free school lunch. And they were even getting free school lunches and sack lunches to take home for supper. Now those kids are not getting the nutrition that they need. So, of course, malnutrition breaks down the whole system.
And obviously affects. So malnutrition, that has a significant impact on the immune system.
Right. And malnutrition doesn't mean you're starving.
Right.
It could mean you're eating potato chips all
right.
day.
You don't have the nutrients your body needs.
Yeah.
And, yeah, nothing helps fight off a virus like having, you know, an unhealthy body.
Yeah, right. So unhealthy body, unhealthy mind, the lack of social interaction. Dr. Gulick, you would agree with me, I'm sure, that as you've already stated, at least if not directly, indirectly, that not having those social relationships also has a serious impact on the immune system.
Yes.
Right.
That's been shown in research for years.
For years. So we have unhealthy or non-existent social interactions going on. Interpersonal relationships are being dramatically impacted by the COVID response with the mask, the social distancing, all of that stuff. Malnutrition for those children who don't have access to healthy food at home, which is a physical cause of reduced ability to fight off pathogens. So everything that we're doing in response to COVID to protect us from COVID is actually making us at much, much greater risk of COVID and a number of other very harmful things.
Sounds like a crap stew.
It's really bad. And to make matters worse, you know, Midwest Public Health Coalition is not the only organization that's trying to educate the public about the truth regarding COVID-19. There are others as well. In fact, if you go to our website, MidwestPublicHealth.org, you will find links to other organizations that are doing the same thing. The problem is that there's, as John mentioned at the beginning of this show, there's tremendous pushback by social media. You're censored if you tell the truth about COVID. We've been censored. We have already talked about on the show how our website was taken down once. It took months for us to find a hosting platform that would that promised that they would not take us down because we're telling the truth about COVID. We've tried to we purchased some billboards about a month ago. We paid for them. We designed them. Here's one of them: COVID vaccine deaths. This is on the vaccines. I know that it's not, you're not zooming because the cameraman has gone to lunch, but it says COVID vaccine, 286 deaths reported and rising. That number is now well over 1,000, well over 1,000. Here's another one. Got fear, get facts at realcovidfacts.org. That's another way to get to our website, realcovidfacts.org. But what happened was after we purchased these billboards, we got a call from our sales rep, who said, "I'm so sorry, but the owner has said no, not going to accept the contract, refunded our money and wouldn't put them up." And I said, "What's the problem?" So I called and spoke with someone at the company, and they said that the billboard design that really was troubling to the owner was this one.
You might be able to hold that up to my camera there if you can turn it to face it that way.
This way?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. There we go. Yeah. So Breathe Free, North Dakota. That's it. Three young girls sitting on a bench, smiling without masks on. And the response was, "Those three girls are sitting right next to each other without masks." And so my question is, what kind of a world do we live in when three young girls sitting next to each other smiling scares an adult?
Yeah.
Censorship is what's going to make it very difficult to educate the parents, to get them ready to respond appropriately, to have those kinds of important conversations with their children, not to be fearful, to have those kinds of important conversations with their teachers, with the school board, with the superintendent of schools, with these people who are guilty of malfeasance because they're put in positions and they're not doing their own research. They're not looking for the truth. They're following orders from somebody above them. It's kind of what happened in Nazi Germany. That all came out in the Nuremberg trials. I was just following orders. It's not my fault. I was just following orders. Well, I'll tell you what, these people are going to stand before God and give an account for the things that they've done that have harmed our children. That's just a fact. There's no way around that. But and so are the people at Facebook and YouTube and all these social media. But here's one: Facebook censors Facebook. Here, can you do yep. that on your camera? There we go. Facebook censorship protecting you from reality. I like that. Here's something interesting: the Facebook, actually, the oversight board admitted that Facebook was wrong to censor information about hydroxychloroquine because the cat's out of the bag. It works to treat COVID-19. Just like budesonide works to treat COVID-19. There are treatments, there are therapeutics available right now for COVID-19, and nobody's talking about it.
I think you just got us kicked off.
Did I? Sorry. I'm commending them for finally telling the truth and saying we were wrong to censor that information. So then the question is, should Facebook be charged with criminal neglect? Maybe that'll get us kicked off. But this is real world. And here's the bottom line, I think, for me, at least on the discussion that we've had today. You know, when will this end? What will it take to go back to normal? I am firmly convinced that there are some very powerful people, very wealthy and powerful people, who do not want us ever to go back to normal. they stand to benefit from our harm. They don't ever want us to go back to normal. And so if we leave it up to them, if we leave it up to the experts, to those people who are in charge, we never will. And the death and the destruction, the emotional damage, the depression, the anxiety, the suicides, those are only going to continue unless we say, wait a minute, this is my child, this is my life, this is my air, my oxygen, my lungs, my body. I'm not doing this anymore. And just push back. If every employee at a, say, X store, whatever kind of store it is, grocery store, hardware store, whatever it is, if all the employees got together and educated themselves and learned the truth about this virus, which is real, and people really get sick from it. Dr. Gullix was very sick from COVID-19. And yet here she is sitting this close to us without a mask. So what, should she be put in jail for that? No. But some people would suggest that as the solution.
When you looked at those videos from the parents that were at those school board meetings at the beginning trying to get them open, they didn't have masks. They actually did get them arrested.
Yeah.
They would send the cops in there and make them leave.
So that's insanity. The police chief needs to understand that that there is no law saying that you can't go anywhere without a mask on. That's not the law. And we have to be willing to stand up and say, I'm done. If all the employees, as I was starting to say, from any store, any retail outlet, got together and said, you know what? These things don't work. We all hate them. They lower our immune system. That's been demonstrated medically. And we're going to take them off and be done with this. And they all did it at the same time. There would not be a store to open their doors. And the owner would have to go out of business because they can't just suddenly magically make 15 new employees appear.
You know, that makes me actually kind of curious with, you know, some of these stores where if you go in there and they say to be in here, you have to wear a mask. And, you know, I mean, all they can get you on is saying that we asked you to leave so they can try to get you for trespassing. But if I went in there with my 8-year-old daughter and I had a mask on, but she didn't have a mask on, and they said she has to wear a mask, and I'd say, no, actually, she doesn't. I'm not making her wear a mask. Would they get her for trespassing then?
No, they'd get you.
They'd still get me.
I don't see how they can – look, I don't see how they can even bring up the word trespassing because it's not private property. Mm-hmm. Every store is a public accommodation. According to the Americans with Disabilities Act of 1990, all stores that sell product to the general public are considered – legally, according to federal law, public accommodations. That's what they are. They are a public accommodation, which means they accommodate the public. And they cannot discriminate against anyone for wearing a mask, not wearing a mask, wearing a baseball cap, not wearing a baseball cap. It's not private property. It might be privately owned, but it's a public accommodation. Remember when I was debating that attorney that we had here a while ago? And he said, well, good luck finding a lawyer to take that case. Well, I don't care if a lawyer says they're not going to take the case. That doesn't mean that it's that it's legal, because it's not legal. So every one of us needs oxygen to survive. We need oxygen for our health. We need to be able to expel carbon dioxide freely, expel it without blocking it so that we rebreathe it. That's the way that God designed us. So that's a medical necessity for each one of us. And no store, no public accommodation has the right to cause you. Look, what if, I'll use an example that someone from California, Peggy Hall, used. She said, so if a store says, well, listen, it's Pickpocket Tuesday. You can come in our store because it's a privately owned store, and you're encouraged to pickpocket the other customers that are here. Right? Or it's Cocaine Wednesday. In order to shop here on Wednesday, you've got to snort a line of coke before you come in. They can't do those. They can't make you do that.
Well, Cindy said they would say, as a parent, you are medically negligent.
Right.
But, you know, we should probably get, we're way past the hour mark here, so we should probably let the doctor get about her day. Do you have anything closing that you want to say? I mean, I got to thank you for coming on here. You know, it's great having, you know, somebody that's actually a doctor in this field talking about these important things that nobody seems to be talking about.
So let me close with, they children and adults are at risk for lifelong disabilities. We are losing a generation who is behind academically. They're not learning to work together. They have delayed problem-solving skills, unable to communicate with people face-to-face. They're relying on technology to the exclusion of real-time friends. Stress is putting them at risk for suicide, health challenges, and inability to make themselves understood and known. Those are scary propositions, and we don't know COVID specifically, but we know through the literature for decades that this kind of isolation and all will cause these problems.
So, do I get a closing statement?
Yes, of course.
I mean, Dr. Gulick should have gone last because hers was more important. But I would say, based on everything that Dr. Gulick has said, first let me just say this. There's no scientific evidence that 6 feet makes any difference whatsoever when it comes to contracting COVID or any other viral illness that's a respiratory-type viral illness. It just doesn't work. It's a fictional number. It's a number that they literally pulled out of the air. It doesn't mean anything. Well, what about coughing and sneezing? But that's not how the virus is transmitted. Studies have shown that the larger droplets that come out of a cough or a sneeze aren't filled with live virus. They're usually dead viruses. The ones that are the most dangerous are the very small aerosol particles that come when we breathe.
But they also come with a sneeze and a cough, too. The small aerosol does.
The small aerosols come out as well.
Yes.
But even breathing, you don't have to cough or sneeze. Even breathing, just standing and breathing normally, they have documented that the aerosol particles from my lungs will go 27.5 feet
on their own. Which is what they originally were talking about for social distancing, is 25 feet.
But the problem is, again, that's based on total fiction because we live in fluid air. I mean, this is a physical, undeniable fact. We live in fluid air. That means that the air that we're breathing in and out is moving all the time. So whatever I'm breathing in and out, you're going to be breathing in and out, and you're going to be breathing in and out, and the guy in the back is going to be breathing in and out because the air is always moving. And that's just the way that it is. That's the way it is, and our immune systems are designed to handle that. So my closing statement would be, take the masks off your children. Take the masks off your face. Go back to normal right now, because if you don't, it's not going to change.
All right. Give me 2 seconds here.
Thanks, Paul. And thanks to GFBS for allowing us to come on and tell the truth.
Yeah, well, we love having you. I guess I'm going to close this out by thanking Probitas Promotions. If you're looking to boost your brand, Probitas Promotions will make you stand out from the crowd. Probitas will consult with you at no cost to help you find the perfect swag for your business, whether it's logoed apparel, hats, promotional products, trade show or displays or awards. Probitas is the region's top provider for free online stores. Probitas stores are the perfect option for your company apparel ordering, team spirit wear, or any type of organization wanting to dress their members with logoed apparel. I can't talk today. Probitas Promotions, with locations in Grand Forks, Fargo, and Bismarck and Minot, shop probitaspromo.com or call 1-866-PRO-SWAG. Boost your brand and stand out from the crowd with Probitas Promotions. I got one more thing to say here. First, let's get this is kind of...
It's not easy being called in to become the host at the last minute when you were planning on producing the show, is it?
Well, not only that, but normally I have, like, if I have to do it myself, I have all my stuff over here. Well, it's not over here now because I wasn't prepared for it.
Yeah, right.
So, that's the definition of an emergency.
Yeah, that's right. Yes. How about that?
All right. Well, let's see what else John has for notes here. Looks like tomorrow we got Karma Hansen with Safe Kids talking about winter and spring safety. So be sure to like, share, and tag us. Follow us. Hit the button. If you want to see us live on our website, you can just go to gfbestsource.com. GF Grand Forks is great. GFBS is giving an identity again. Thanks for watching, everybody.